Hello, 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 ladies of no BS. Come on in. Welcome. Welcome. I am Coach Lizzie. This is our nighttime eating and drinking call. This is for anything that you want to talk about where you are turning to any kind of substance at night, whether it's food, whether it's alcohol, whether it's gummies, any of that kind of stuff is totally on the table. And what's great about this call, like so many of us have habits around eating and drinking, et cetera, at night. But also, it's really exciting that towards the end of April, which is next month, Corinne's going to be doing the nighttime eating workshop. And then all of May is dedicated to ditching our nighttime eating. So glad to be there. It is great to have everybody. Cindy Switzer's here. Hello, Cindy. And Emily is so glad to be here. Hasn't been able to be here in, live in a while. So glad you're here, Emily. Folks, say hi to me into the say hi to me in the chat. Make sure you mark your chat to everyone instead of just hosts and panelists. Hey, Kim. This is a live coaching call, so raise your hands to get coached. You can come on and chat. Lori is here. Fantastic. So raise your hand for coaching and also type questions into the Q&A. Y'all, words are hard right now. It's evening time. I should be in bed. Just kidding. Into the Q&A if you have any questions. Okay, so I have a handful of things to chat about, but if nobody's raising their hand, then we'll just make it a quick call. So let's talk about nighttime eating. So all kinds of things we could talk about. Why does it happen? There's all kinds of things where why we end up with eating at night, drinking at night, gummies, CBD, whatever it is. A lot of times it can be because we were dieting all day. I've been so good all day. And then just the fatigue of the day has built up in us and we're like, I just can't even by the time the night comes along. We're tired. Makes sense. Sometimes because of all of the things we've learned from our diets, we've like saved up our points and our calories for dessert or whatever. And so we're like playing the diet game. So a lot of times it's emotional stuff. Like we're lonely, we're bored, we want to relax. That's definitely my story that my brain tells me, that I want to relax. Therefore, let's have a drink. Yes. Sometimes it's just habit. Like we're just used to it. Sometimes it was something that you were taught when you were a kid that like, mom or dad or grandma or whatever gave you food before we go to bed. Like this is sort of your treat before you go to bed. So it could be considered to be a treat, something like that. Sometimes there's some shame that can come around with it of like, I have been good all day, and then the kids, the spouse, the partner goes to sleep, and I have the space to myself, and nobody can see it. Right? Anybody resonate with that? I've definitely done my share of secret eating and drinking, and basically, when we do that, we have this shame. Like we feel like we're bad, and the eating or the drinking is bad, and so but we really want to, and so if there's no one there to see it, that's when we might find ourselves, turning to food at night, when everyone else is asleep or no one else can see. So, some thoughts around how to help you. There's all kinds of reasons why we eat. And so it's really useful to kind of dig underneath that. And that's what's beautiful about this month in March. Y'all give me an emoji if you have gotten something valuable out of the journaling theme of the month of March. Like whether you're like, I'm not a journaler and I journaled for the first time, or I thought it was bullshit, but I finally said yes and I got something out of it. Look at all these hearts and thumbs up. Somebody even had a thumbs up with a heart behind it. That was pretty cool. I gotta tell you, like when I first joined No BS and Corinne was like, you gotta journal, you gotta write stuff down. I was like, no. Wouldn't you know it? Turns out she knows a thing or two. Of course. Yeah, so I gave myself a challenge back like between Thanksgiving and Christmas to journal for 60 days, not in a row. It was just 60 days. So that's, right out of the gate, we're like letting go of perfection. It's so, and I'm at like day 54, I think. And what are we in March? So it's like, it's taken me 5 months to get to 60 days of journaling. And it's been so interesting and so useful and so valuable. And so sometimes journaling can just be like, here's a lesson learned I had. And sometimes that's all I do. I just repeat my lessons learned. At any rate, journaling can be a great way to help you figure out what's underneath your nighttime eating or your nighttime drinking. It has helped me a lot. I've been working on, figuring out what is it that my brain thinks I will get from drinking at night. Like, why does my brain keep going back to that? Certainly it's habit for sure. But if it was just habit, all of the like 57 different things that I've tried to stop or to adjust drinking would have worked by now. So there's more to it. There's got to be some emotion to it. So journaling has helped me a lot, and I'm going to talk to you about that in just a minute. So some things and suggestions that you can do to ask yourself with journaling, what is it that this food or this drink or this gummy is helping me do? So here's what I want you to think about. Here's four kind of journaling prompts you could use. These are going to say when I eat at night, but substitute in whatever it is that you go for. So number one, when I eat at night, my brain thinks that food will solve fill in the blank. So what's the need that my brain thinks food will solve? Or if it's drink, what will the alcohol solve? If it's a gummy, what will the CBD solve? So I'll answer these questions for myself. Like when I'm thinking about my brain thinks that alcohol is the answer. Whatever the problem is, alcohol's the answer at night. So I've been really asking myself, what does my brain think that the alcohol will solve? It will solve stress. It will solve the need to relax. That's the main one. I used to think it was a reward for a long day, but like that actually, like the more I journaled about it, it kind of, I busted that. It said that food will help me relax and it'll help me de-stress. Occasionally, when there's something I want to avoid, like hanging out with my in-laws, I think alcohol will solve that too. Turns out, busted that one as well. But anyway, so what do I think it will solve? Question number two, when I eat at night or drink at night, my brain thinks that food will help me feel what? So for me, when I drink at night, my brain thinks that alcohol will make me feel or help me feel relaxed, de-stressed. And my brain thinks it's got lots of evidence to prove this. And so, like, let's keep looking. What evidence do I have that food actually does not make me feel? Fill in the answer from the previous question. So for me, what evidence do I have that alcohol actually does not make me feel relaxed? Well, I know that when I drink too much, I then judge myself and I have lots of, spinning thoughts. That's the opposite of relaxing. When I wake up at 2 or 3 in the morning and I can't sleep, that's not very relaxing. When I wake up the next morning and have the, flood of judgmental, shitty thoughts, that's not very relaxing. When I resolve again the next day to be like, today's going to be different, that's not very relaxing. So there's that. And side note, sciencey nerd alert. I got an Oura ring, as you can see, for Christmas. And I was looking at the information. And one of the things that I noticed is that on nights that I have alcohol, my heart rate variability is really low. And I'm like, okay. That's a trend, but I don't really know what that means. Then I recently read an article that heart rate variability signifies the balance between your sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous system activation. What that basically is meaning, it's your balance between your fight or flight nervous system activation versus rest and digest. So what that was, long story short, is my Oura ring is telling me that alcohol literally leads to more stress. It leads to more anxiety. It leads to more fight or flight. And I was like, damn it, science wins again. So give me a thumbs up if you're a fan of science. So I have even more evidence now that alcohol does not lead to me feeling relaxed. So I'm like busting my brain's story. Last journaling prompt is now, What else could help me feel that feeling that you think food or alcohol will help you feel? So for me, it's relaxed. What else could help me feel relaxed? And over the last several weeks, I've been experimenting, bringing curiosity and just, as little judgment as possible, because we all have judgments. And I've learned that what actually makes me feel relaxed is taking time to sit down, which, wouldn't you know, I don't do a lot. I'm like, I'm go, go, go. And my husband gets to sit down and watch the sports and stuff, but I'm making dinner. And I'm like, wow, when I actually take a minute to sit, it really helps. Sure thing. So Aaron is asking me to repeat the information about the sympathetic and parasympathetic nervous system with alcohol. No problem. So, sympathetic nervous system is fight or flight. Parasympathetic nervous system is rest and digest. Basically, it's like when we're alert, when we're like, yikes, we're stressed out, that is the sympathetic nervous system. I don't know the exact details, but basically, I learned that heart rate variability, it shows that when your fight or flight is activated, your heart rate variability is lower. I also noticed that when I drank alcohol, my heart rate variability is lower. So alcohol, low heart rate variability. Low heart rate variability means more fight or flight. Therefore, transitive property, alcohol equals more fight or flight. Hopefully that hopefully I explained that well. Oh yay, and Gina's here. Great to see you. She just came back from yoga. Awesome. So those are the four questions. Real quick, that's in the chat. I'll read it to you again. Where did it go? When I eat at night, my brain thinks food will solve what? Name a need. When I eat at night, my brain thinks that food will help me fill in the blank. What evidence do I have that food actually does not make me fill in the blank feeling? What else could help me feel that feeling? Okay. We've got somebody who's raised their hand. So we've got iPhone. Love it. We're going to bring iPhone up to coach, and then I'm going to get to some questions in the Q&A. And Emily says she's had an aha moment while answering these questions. Her hands don't need to be in constant motion. I can focus on one thing at a time, like reading a book, watching TV, or coloring. Amazing. Great. So I tried to promote you to panelist, iPhone. Coming in. There we go. Hi.
So I don't know. My name is Mary.
Hey, Mary.
I don't, this is the first time I've been on a live call. So I don't know how to put my name in there or any of that.
Well,
But
you're here now. Thank you so much for being here.
but Lizzie, so I've been reading your book and you're so down to earth. I was like, okay, I can do this today and talk to you.
Great. Thank you, Mary. Well, thank you for reading my book. I'm so glad you're here and we get to chat. So, what's going on? What kind of thoughts do you have around nighttime eating or drinking or anything else?
Nighttime eating is my, it is the thing that is the hardest for me to develop whatever I need to do for it. I've been in No BS 2019, and I know it's emotional eating. I know that I'm not hungry. Last night, also, I found out if I have a snack at 3 o'clock, then I'm not hungry for dinner. And so I'm really trying, I know when I'm hungry, but stopping it enough is the hardest deal. So I was like, okay, I went to the store, bought all kinds of veggies, things that I needed for my plan, and found some sugar-free bread and butter pickles. Well, I love those. So I waited until I was hungry last night, but I ate a darn tootin' lot of them. And I just wonder, is it's still a substitute, though, for night eating. So help.
Okay, so night eating has been a thing for a while. What do you think the food does for you at night?
Well, I wrote down that I that the food will solve, calm my anxiety. I need to relax. I've been stressed out all day. But then, so my brain thinks the food will make me feel calm. The food doesn't make me feel calm. The judge in me beats me up, and then I feel guilty because I'm not honoring my weight loss goals.
Okay.
So I loved how you said food leads to more fight or flight, because it does. And then how to relax, scroll on my phone, favorite show. And then I loved how you said sit down, because I like to sit down under my blanket, the real soft blanket at night.
Yeah. So I think you're already making progress here because you went through those four questions and you realized my brain thinks that food will help me relax. Okay, that's really good to know. So does food actually make me feel relaxed?
No.
Tell me more about that.
No, because it's like the old shitty in my head is like, well, you shouldn't be eating that. You shouldn't be eating that. You're not hungry. And so I have, with the journaling in March, been trying to figure out, why are you doing this? And really, it's one of those habits, the bad habits, that I need a new, a pattern loop or something, you're not doing the same thing over and over and over and getting
Okay.
results.
Yeah. And so this is really helpful because, like, when you say old shitty comes in there, like, you shouldn't be doing this. I can't believe you did it again, yada, yada. That is totally amping up the fight or flight. So, one thing you could almost make it, there's lots, I got lots of ideas of things we can work with. And Mary, I'd love for you, I'm going to give you a little homework
Good.
to rewatch this coaching call once it gets published, because I'm going to give you a bunch of ideas. And if you write them down now, great, but you can also go back and capture them.
Okay.
So, one idea could be you make an agreement with yourself. I am allowed to have any food I want at night as long as I refuse to guilt myself over it. I can have any food I want if I like my reasons and I'm just going to love the hell out of it and enjoy mwah, that. Oh, what did you say? Pickle something?
Sugar-free bread and butter pickles.
Never heard of those, but I bet they're amazing. Sugar-free bread and butter pickles. If you're like, I'm going to enjoy the hell out of that and just like savor it, and like zero guilt, that you have permission to do. But if you're going to be like, you shouldn't have done that, I can't believe you did that again. If you're going to amp up your fight or flight, it's a no.
Okay.
That could be an idea. Now, your brain is really used to the old shitty talk. So you could make yourself an agreement and have trouble following through. That would be really normal. But like, it's still worthy of practicing and just seeing what would it be like to try and enjoy my sweet and sour or sweet and something pickles and just enjoy them and be present with them. So one idea is eat it with no shitty self-talk.
Okay.
Another idea could be I can have any snack I want at night as long as I use the Fuck It Foods worksheet at the same time. And I'm going to
Okay.
look up the link for that. Have you ever heard of or used the Fuck It Foods worksheet?
I've heard about it. I have never done it.
I will tell you a secret. I was afraid to do the Fuck It Foods worksheet forever because I was like, it's going to make me not like my favorite food.
Right. I've heard that.
Yeah. And so, if you or anybody who's listening has had that worry or fear, I want to validate it. Like, yeah, because it's like your whoopee. You're like, for me, my favorite food, well, in my brain's view, it's not food, it's wine. It's like, I don't want to give that up. It's my thing. It's my security blanket. And it's okay. And again, like, you want to like turn towards that anxiety and fear and be like, it's okay, honey. We're going to be all right. We're just going to see. We're just going to experiment. Lots of curiosity. So that could be an option. Try using the Fuck It Foods worksheet.
Okay.
Also, Mary, you said that food helps you relax. And so another idea you could try is we could brainstorm a list, three, five, eight things that also help you relax. And you get like a check mark. You get credit for doing any of those things. And that way, you're like, I, look at all these things I'm doing to relax. And this was something I mentioned on a call recently, where it's like, when you've had a habit forever, you're not going to go from relying 100% on food and no other tools to like all these other tools and zero food. It's not going to happen. So what we're doing is we're brainstorming other ideas you can do, and we're going to go from 100.
Turn that off.
Oh, don't worry about it.
It's
It's
not.
fine. We're going to go from 100% food to zero tools, and we're going to just adjust it to like, we're going to now maybe use 90% food and 10% these other tools to relax. And maybe eventually you're going to get 80-20, 50-50. And so some of these, I have some ideas, but I'd love for you to share with me what are some other things in addition to food that help you relax?
I like to go down to my meditation room and do a puzzle. That's kind of neat. Also in the meditation room, I like to water my flowers.
Nice.
Calms me down and they look so pretty.
Do you
And
talk to your flowers? I totally talk to my flowers.
another thing is I have an orange and white tabby cat. His name is Chester, and he'll climb up in the evenings and want to be petted, and that calms me down.
Okay, so we've got puzzle. You mentioned a meditation room. Do you actually also meditate?
I haven't really figured out how to do that.
Okay.
But it used to be my youngest. We're empty nesters now. So the Sunday after Thanksgiving, Samuel's my youngest, and he moved to New Hampshire. And so, yeah, I've remade it into the meditation reflection room. So.
Fantastic. I had a client once who had a similar kind of room, and she had like fairy lights up in there. And she's like, I just come and turn on the lights when, and like, that's the only, like, everything else is dark. And I just sit and I listen to some nice music. Like, that could be like a sort of a form of meditation.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. It was really pretty too. It was always fun to have a coaching call with her because her lights were on. Okay. So you've got puzzle. Maybe just hang out in your, put in some fairy lights, listen to some nice music. Pet Chester, love that. And there was another one that I forgot.
Oh, water my flowers down in the meditation room.
Yes, water your flowers. Okay. So you could almost like play a game with yourself, Mary. You could say, I'm having the urge to eat at night. This is not a problem. It's so normal. Of course I'm gonna have an urge. Like, there, it is not a problem at all to have an urge. Like, expect it. Everybody expect the urge to be there. And so then you say, all right, my brain says I should have food because it helps me relax. I'm going to go water the plants and I'm going to really intentionally kind of relax. And the food, sorry, the urge to have food may still be there, and that still is not a problem. Maybe I'm going to sit with Chester for a few minutes and just do that. And if you're like, the urge to have food is still there, okay, that's what we're doing here. We're going from 100% food, zero the other. Now we're doing like 10% other, 90% food. And we're just going to adjust that over time. And so, more and more, as you can bring in and practice some of these other tools and remind yourself that your brain thinks that food is going to help you relax. And remind yourself it doesn't actually, because of that shitty self-talk.
Right.
And so, petting Chester is like pure relaxing because there's no shitty self-talk around that. Watering the plants, no shitty self-talk. This is great. And like, really allow it to sink in. And also expect that it's going to be a while. It's going to take some time. Like, you've probably been doing nighttime eating for decades.
Yes.
Yeah.
Unfortunately,
Yeah. And
probably
so,
over 40 years, yeah.
like, if you gave yourself a year to just practice intentionally being like reminding yourself, food at night doesn't actually help me relax. These things do. I am sure I'm going to still eat at night sometimes, but I'm gonna make an effort to make a transition over time and see what happens.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I want to tell you with no BS, I lost 45 pounds.
Mary, wow. Congratulations. Y'all, can we get a emoji for that? Wow, Mary, what, since I have you here, what would you say if you were to bring it to like one or two things? What's the main thing that's helped you lose that weight?
All of our, every month we have a course. And the Trusting Your Body course also, going back to No BS, I do that every year, the whole course.
Mm-hmm.
Listening to the replays, you guys, of everything you guys talk about.
Wow, great. I would agree. Like, obviously, I work for No BS, so I listen to the replays, and inevitably, there's something that I get from MJ or Coach Kathy, or even like 2 weeks ago, I swear to God, Corinne was talking straight to me. I was like, I needed to hear that. It just, yeah, good stuff. Okay, great. Thank you, Mary. Anything else I can support you with right now?
No, I'm like, okay, I did it. I talked. Yahoo!
Yes. Well, I am so glad that I get to be the first coach that you talk to on a live call. So thank you. Right on. Okay. Thanks, Mary. Well, I will put you back down to attendee. And thank you again. Anybody else who wants to get coached, raise your hand. We got no hands raised right now. I got a couple of questions I'm going to answer. While I'm answering these questions, I would love for you guys to raise your hands. Otherwise, we'll just make it a short little call. All righty. Anonymous says, I feel like I have a split personality. You and me both, honey. When it gets to dinner time or later, I know I won't be happy if I sit mindlessly and nibble. And I just don't care. I don't think I have diet mentality. I don't feel shame about eating in front of other people. I don't drink. Would love to get some help on this. Okay. So you get to the point where you just don't care. This is really interesting. So what's kind of going on is like your inner rebel is coming up, and your inner rebel is not the bad guy. Your inner rebel, just like your inner taskmaster, both of them are trying to help you. They're both trying to support you. It's just that your taskmaster has been at it all day, and she's like trying to make you follow the rules because good girls follow the rules, and this is what we want long term. And the taskmaster gets tired out, and the rebel is like, finally. Taskmaster is tired. I finally get to have a say. I get to say what I want. And so it's not bad. What you can do when you get to that point, and I would encourage you to journal on this or talk to a coach about it. Go to Ask Coaches. Ask Coaches counts as journaling. When, like, if you were to turn towards that voice in your head that's like, I just don't care, and you like had a conversation with it, and you're like, tell me more. What's going on? Why don't you care about mindlessly eating? You said, like, I know I won't be happy if I sit there and nibble mindlessly. So you know you won't be happy, but you don't care you won't be happy. So what is it that that voice that says I don't care is getting? Is it getting relief? Is it getting is it able to numb from the voices of the day, the stress of the day? Is it just like I can just finally tune out? I once had a client who binged, and she had binged for years, and she kind of struggled with it. And we had some great conversations because she was super self-aware. And so she was able to almost name these different voices in our head, which is anonymous, kind of what I'm helping you with here. Like, you've got your manager voice, and then you've got your I just don't care voice. And maybe there's other voices too. This client said I've got the Zen voice. And this is like when things are working, my schedule is manageable, I feel like I'm eating healthy, I'm making my plan. And then there's the chaos voice, when my family is picking at me, when people need stuff, and I'm just getting pissed off, and I'm just like, I can't, I can't, I can't. And oh my God, it's so loud. And then there's the binge voice that's like, if you just eat, it'll be quiet. And as we coached, I was able to point out to her, your binge is helping to rescue you from the chaos. Because when you binge, it goes quiet, even just for a little bit. And your brain is so stressed out of the chaos voice that all it wants is some quiet. And if the binge is how we get there, the binge is what we do. And so she could turn to basically what she did. I would encourage all of you to do this is like try and identify these voices in your head, and then imagine you're having a family meeting at the kitchen table in your brain. Okay, everybody, Zen, you sit over there. Chaos, you're over there. Binge, we're here. Everybody gets a voice, but like you are like hearing what they say and like, what, why, what is it that you're trying to help me with? Why do you act this way? What is the need you're helping me get? And like, listen to what they have to say and then see where the compromise can be. That was a little bit complicated, but hopefully that helps a little bit, anonymous. Okay, another anonymous says, I have a good week. The scale moves, and then the following week, I gain it almost all back. How can I stop this vicious cycle? I don't restrict or anything. Oh, I hear you, right? You get I was so good this week. Sometimes, I don't know if this is happening for you, anonymous, but sometimes we've got the Hey, I lost a pound or two this week. I got a little wiggle room. Like, let's take this weight loss out for a spin. I can ease up a little bit. Like I said, I don't know that that's happening for you. That has definitely been a thought in my mind before. And so here's what I would suggest. You say, I have a good week and the scale moves. When you have a good week, write it down. Two things, maybe three tops. What were the two things that helped you have a good week? I made a plan and I closed the kitchen at 8 o'clock, whatever it is, you know. And then now you have a blueprint. Now you can say, if I could just do these two things again next week, I'm improving my chances of having a good week again. And also, if you notice the voice that's like, hey, I lost weight last week. Now I can ease it up a little bit. Call that voice out. That voice is a liar. Now, I want to be clear. I'm not talking about being super strict or restrictive. I'm just saying that that's diet mentality. Like I can ease up. Let's not like we're not about restricting. We're not about being good. We're not about easing up. We're like, what can we do, like, and make it our life? Like, what can become normal? Because hear me when I say this. Weight loss is a series of getting used to a series of new normals over time. So, like, if you had a good week, you want to ask yourself, how can I make what I did last week feel normal to me? Feel like just another week. Because when the things that led to a good week become normal, that's when long-term weight loss happens. So I would examine your good week, write down two, maybe three things, three action steps that helped you have a week, and then be like, how can I make this normal? How can I put it on repeat? Okay. iPhone 3 says, I love that journaling can be one line. Absolutely. Journaling can be ask coaches. Journaling can be making a plan. Someone else is saying, with gastric bypass coming April 24th, a lot of emotional eating. Okay, so let's, that's an opportunity to kind of examine what are the emotions around it. Like some people might say, I'm having gastric bypass and I'm super excited. Some might say, I'm super nervous. Like, what's going on? Write it out, talk it out, bring it to ask coaches. There's a lot that you might be feeling. One thing also you can do with journaling, here's a kind of real simple but very effective way to acknowledge what you're feeling is just say, number one, what am I feeling? Number two, I am allowed to feel that way. I don't have to fix it. I don't even have to know why I'm feeling that way. I'm allowed to feel, let's just say it's anxious. I'm allowed to feel anxious. I don't have to fix it. I can be anxious. That like lets some of the pressure off of the feeling and allows you to kind of acknowledge what you're feeling and move through it rather than stuffing it down with food. Okay. Carolyn says, yes, sitting and resting is a good thing to do. I don't just sit often either. Yeah, me too. Actually, I do it once in the morning with my first cup of coffee, and then all day it's go, go, go. Carolyn, you and me both. Like, I would have said, I don't know, probably 3 months ago, I was like, I take time to relax, which is true after dinner. But I want to drink between work and dinner. And so I realized when I sit down to relax after dinner, that's not the time when I need it. I need it between work and dinner. And it's hard because I don't like to eat late. I want to get dinner done. We got kids, we got things going on. And so like I have reasons why I want to get to making dinner. And I've had to remind myself, take a breath. Dinner can wait just 5 minutes. Sit there and intentionally relax. It's going to be okay. And I did the why self-care isn't selfish call in February. And like that's one of those things that like just taking 5 minutes to allow myself to say, dinner can wait. Just relax. Self-care is not selfish. It's not delaying dinner for my family. They're fine. 5 minutes is going to be okay. It is okay to give yourself a minute to rest because you're taking care of you and you're making yourself a better you in the long run. Okie dokie. Serena says, what kind of foods should I do the fuck of foods worksheet with? I'm not really a nighttime eater or a binger. No problem. So it can be anything, Serena. I had a client who she would do, And if Susan's on this call, shout out to Susan. She's amazing. She would do a fuck up foods worksheet anytime she kind of had an overeat. And so it would be on different things. Like sometimes her favorite thing frequently was ice cream, but it was like, oh, I overate brownies yesterday. So tomorrow I'm gonna have brownies intentionally with a fuck up foods worksheet. So it can be like a variety of things, or it can be like, it's that food, that thing that like kind of feels like it's calling your name. You kind of feel like you don't totally have power over it. It maybe has a little bit of power over you. That's the thing to do a fuck up foods worksheet on. So you could do it with like trigger foods, or you could do it with just anything that you happen to overeat. So it's kind of a player's choice there. All righty. We're just flying through these questions here. Great. All right. And Carissa raised her hand. So we're going to get to Carissa here in just a second. Alyssa says, I've been trying to find different ways to change from work mode to home mode when I come home. I thought about sitting on the patio or stretches. Problem is actually doing this. I'm so used to coming home and turning on the TV and snacking. Ah, good point. So you have a kind of a route, you have a physical pattern of things that you're really used to doing. And so, what's a way that you can kind of interrupt the pattern? So, like, for example, you're used to coming home and turning on the TV. Can you start in your car? Like, I'm gonna sit in the driveway and park and breathe for 2 minutes. Or is it like when I walk into the house, I always put my purse down here and I do go this place and that place. Can you interrupt? Can you walk somewhere else? Can you interrupt like your physiology? For example, like put a piece of gum in your mouth. That like it's gonna be a lot less fun to snack when you've got a minty flavor in your mouth. What can you have this kind of routed pattern in your brain, so you want to interrupt the pattern and that kind of thing. Okay, we're gonna get back to some of our questions here in a minute, but we're gonna talk to Carissa. Let me see here. Here we go. Carissa, what you got for me?
Sorry,
Hello.
not sure I really want to do this. So mine is drinking. I've pretty much become an every night drinker. I know it's affecting my weight loss, and it's got a lot of shame around it. So I do the work. I do the what do you call it? The plan, my food plan, pretty much on a regular basis now. But it comes to the evening or, 5 o'clock somewhere. And on the days I'm home, I work, I function. But on the days I'm home, I drink half a bottle of wine or have 4 or 5 mixed drinks. And as much as it's like, okay, today's wake up with a stomach ache, all that stuff. And it's like, I'm not doing this again. This is ridiculous. And then come nighttime, guess what? Making another drink or drinking another bottle of wine. I've tried keeping it out of my house. And I mean, I can go days. I mean, I go see my grandbaby and I don't drink when I'm with them and, stuff like that. I know we're not supposed to beat ourselves up. So I try to talk myself down when, the why are you such a fuck up? And I mean, like, why are you doing this again? Like you said, you aren't going to do it. And none of the journaling that I do not do journaling on a regular basis. I'm trying to get better at that. Nothing seems to be working, is my point.
Carissa, I just want to thank you for raising your hand. And it takes a ton of courage. And not only do I know that there's somebody listening who you having the bravery to talk is helping, but I also want to just validate I have absolutely been in your shoes. My husband was in the military. He was deployed a lot. I was lonely. I was exhausted. And I have lots of shame over drinking myself to sleep on the couch as the kids were like, "Mommy, it's time for us to go to bed." Like that's not a great feeling. And I woke up plenty of times at 2 in the morning being like, "Fuck me, I did it again." And so I have been there. And I just want to just really honor and validate you're not broken. Okay. So I would love for you to give me some direction. Do you feel like you would respond more to sort of like a soft, gentle approach or sort of a light-hearted approach? What would you feel better?
I'm not sure. What would be a lighthearted approach?
Yeah, sure.
So I.
So, I can tell you for myself, I was so very practiced with the every single night, 2 or 3 in the morning, wake up and the shame voice and the just you did it again and just like all different versions of just pounding, pounding, pounding on myself. And I was getting really familiar with it. And to the I remember very vividly one day, one morning, I finally was so sick of myself that I said, "Would you just shut up?" to myself. And it was very almost like jarring to realize I could talk back to these thoughts. And it helped me realize that these are just thoughts. And the more I began to observe those thoughts, I began to realize that the voice in my head at 3 in the morning is my most negative, most downer, most pessimistic, most you are a shit show, you're ruining your life and your kids' lives kind of advice. And so that makes sense because during the day, the voice of our lower brain is kind of in the background. We're thinking, we're doing, we've got our to-do list, we're on, yeah. But when we're asleep, that to-do list part of the brain, the prefrontal cortex is asleep. And so the lower brain is like, ooh, I've got the microphone. And now you will listen to everything I say. So that's why it makes sense that our brain at the night is like that. And so what I did was I named the voice and I gave it like a character. So like whenever I'm really struggling with negative self-talk, I imagine that Ron Burgundy is telling me whatever my voice is saying, because I think Ron Burgundy is silly and ridiculous, and it just helps me snap out of that shame and realize this is just a thought. It separates me a little bit and be like, okay. We're going to deal with this in the morning. So that's kind of the lighthearted approach, is to separate yourself just a teeny bit from the thought by either naming the voice, giving it a character, just realizing that you can talk back to these thoughts. How's that land so far?
I do well with that as far as like, beating myself up as much as far as like food and stuff. I don't do that near as much as I used to.
Okay.
I think because alcohol has such a shame factor to it, and I'm trying to break that down because it's like, I'm just not getting anywhere with it because it's like. Alcohol is it'll ruin my life. It'll ruin, I don't want to keep going down the spiral. I used to have a healthy relationship with alcohol. I've got a 15-year-old, I've got adult children too, but I've got a 15-year-old and 16-year-old. I don't want them having this model to them that putting yourself to bed every night, with half a bottle of wine is healthy. So I don't know. I think, it's just really hard not to want to still think, but I am a shit show because you can't drink like this, Although beating myself up doesn't seem to help either. So,
That is true. So let me describe the softer approach, and you can decide if you want to walk yourself through it. So, like, instead of me having you walk through it right now, I'll just describe it to you. Does that sound okay?
I'm not going to take notes. I'll go back later and rewatch.
Perfect. Yeah. Whenever you're feeling shame, and for everybody who's listening, shame is it literally keeps us stuck because shame makes us want to hide. And that's why we end up secret eating, secret drinking, because we feel shame. And you can't outrun shame. You have to love it. You have to love yourself through it. And the way to do so is with self-compassion. And I heard about a self-compassion exercise that absolutely like changed my life. And here's how it works, is you imagine yourself as a child, like 6 or 7 years old, And like you make it really vivid. Like even imagine like a picture of yourself when you were little. You know, that spunky little girl who like, you know, loved life and she didn't know yet to be embarrassed by herself or to like she hadn't been teased yet, whatever it was. And she walks in the room and she's got these tears in her eyes because she's feeling all of the shame, all of the judgment that you are feeling right now. An adult you can talk to her, can help her. And you ask yourself, like, how would you comfort this little girl who's feeling so much shame for something? And when I was basically really in the throes of some big time shame around alcohol, that's when I heard this exercise. And so I closed my eyes and I imagined it. And there's this picture of me that I remember, like I'm in my little baseball uniform and I've got, you know, whatever the catcher gear mitt on it. Anyway, like I imagined putting my little kid self on my lap and I was like, tell me everything, sweetie. And she was like, I don't know how to handle everything that's going on. This is all I know. The alcohol was all I knew how to do to handle some stuff, some hard things. And I just was like, tell me everything. It's okay. And I was like, you're just doing your best. And it was the first time I ever told myself, I love you. And it was really, really powerful. Now, I will say, either for you, Carissa, or anybody listening, not everyone has a positive relationship with their younger self. And that's totally okay and totally normal. And if that applies to you, you can imagine like a sweet, innocent animal, like a rescue pet that's kind of been through some stuff, but it's like it's feeling some feelings. You could imagine a younger person in your life, like a niece, grandchild, whatever it is. But like, how would you comfort an innocent soul that is experiencing the shame that you're feeling when it's like they're just doing the best they can? What are your thoughts on that?
Might be hard, but yeah,
Yeah.
think it would help. Yeah.
And then, more practically speaking, what I had to do was kind of forgive myself for turning to alcohol to cope with loneliness, to cope with stress, to cope with worry and fear that he might not come back from deployment and things like that. And I had to almost normalize it, like recognize that, of course, I would feel these feelings. Of course, it would be overwhelming. Of course, my brain would say, I don't know what to do with this. I don't want to feel it. Alcohol makes it better. And even if you're like, I don't have big stuff in my life, I'm just stressed from the day, that's fine too. Like, that's where I'm at now. Like, he's not deploying, but I still want to have alcohol every night. And it's like, of course, my brain would want to do that. It's what it's used to. And so you can kind of normalize it and be like, I'm not broken. I'm not a shit show. I'm just a normal human with a normal brain whose brain has learned this pattern. That's all.
That would help. So, do you just write that down so that you like, would I just write that sentence down or whatever my brain comes up with? Is that where journaling helps on a daily basis, or is that something I could write down to like read to myself? Does that make sense?
I think so. And that's an excellent question. I would think any writing down you do will be beneficial. I would say that if you want to write something down on a regular basis, even if it's just a reminder, that's absolutely beneficial. It's going to be repetitive. It'll help you remember. You want to make it feel true. But in the day-to-day tactical stuff, I would give you the same advice I gave Mary, which is figure out what does your brain think the alcohol will do for you? Do you know the answer?
Relax me.
So your brain thinks that alcohol will help you relax. What do you think your brain thinks that alcohol will make you feel what?
More at peace, more at sort of shut my brain down.
Okay.
Brain goes 90 miles an hour.
Yeah. I feel you. And so then the third question is, what evidence do you have that alcohol does the opposite? It does not make you feel quiet.
Because in the then the shit show in my brain starts telling me how losers drink too much. And, you know, I mean, like all that just starts up, and the shame starts in talking. And I did hear you earlier, and I'm going to go back and re-listen to this several times, because I actually just told a friend yesterday when, Kathy had a coaching spot open, but I do not need to spend the money right now. And I'm like, I called a friend and I said, okay, help me talk through this. I'm trying to get us out of debt right now. And so it's like, so as I was talking to her, I told her, I said, I've been having these horrible, I feel like my fight or flight is ramped up. I've been having real bad panic attacks, and we haul my daughter barrel races, and we haul horses, and I seriously thought I was going to have a heart attack by the time I hauled the horse to the place this weekend. And we had a rodeo, and so that really is interesting that I'm drinking more, and that I was thinking it was probably hormonal. I turned 50 in June, and I'm in the throes of menopause. So I had a hysterectomy 2 years ago. And so fun, all the fun hormonal stuff that just is, so I know some of that started, my over drinking started about that same time. But it is interesting that the alcohol is probably causing my ramped up fight or flight. 'Cause I'm like, why is all of a sudden, I trust the Lord. I pray about stuff. I've been doing Kathy's, put your hand on your heart. We're safe. We're alive right now. We haven't crushed anybody. When you're hauling a $10,000 horse, it's really scary because people are idiots. But that is really very interesting that when you said that, it's like, oh, wow. My Apple Watch went out about a month ago. And so before that, I was getting that same low, what do you call it? HRV, right?
Heart rate variability.
And it's like I couldn't figure out the science of it. I didn't have time to
I
research
didn't
it.
know it either until I randomly read an article.
Yeah, so that's very interesting.
And so I will tell you, like, just knowing that alcohol increases stress is not going to solve the urge. Like, I guarantee you, like, because that's your intellectual brain. The urge is in your lower brain, which is more primal. And so you're still going to have the urge, but now you know to expect it. And so journaling can help you with just the repetition of saying, my brain thinks alcohol will make me relax. I have evidence that alcohol makes me more stressed. And just repeat, 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 knowing that the urge is still going to be there. It's not a problem. You're not broken. Expect it. And then actively add in other things that help you relax, whether it's just taking a minute to rest, whether it's going for a walk, whether it's calling a friend. Do things to, like, legitimately let yourself settle and know that you're still probably going to drink, probably more than you want to. But as you add in some more things, as you repeat, like, imagine, Carissa, if you journaled these two lines every day for a year, if you said, my brain thinks alcohol helps me relax. I have evidence that alcohol makes me more stressed. Therefore, I can relax in other ways. If you journaled that, those three lines every day for a year, do you think over the course of a year you would have made progress? You might still have some drinks, and that's okay, but you probably would have made progress.
I will work on that.
I wish I could, like, reach the computer and give you a big hug. Because I just want, you said a minute ago, like, you used to have a healthy relationship with alcohol, and I want to assure you, you can again. You're not broken, I promise.
Okay, thank you so much.
You are so welcome. In the chat, Jane said that there's a book, and I'm pretty sure it's a course as well, called This Naked Mind by Annie Grace. That I've listened to that book. It's an excellent book. Could be a resource to look into.
Yeah, I do listen to the podcast, not as often as I need to, but I do listen to her podcast some. So,
Gotcha. Yeah.
okay. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Carissa.
You have a good
And
day.
may I also just
Yes.
encourage you, like, reach out to me and ask coaches if anything comes up. Like, I definitely want you to know you've got me to support you. And anybody else who like struggles with alcohol, like, say, I'd love to send this Ask Coaches to Lizzie, and they'll send it to me. Okay.
Okay. We just tagged you in the Ask Coaches.
Yeah, I
Okay.
any of the coaches will answer, but like if they're like, Lizzie told me to ask for her, they'll let me know.
Okay.
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you, Carissa. Take care. Right. Yes, and somebody wrote into the chat, Carissa, please know how amazing you are and you are loved. Please remember that. Absolutely. Yes, so many of us like over drinking. It's hard. And so you're not alone if you like, I mean, that was part of what I really struggled with was I felt like I'm a problem. I'm just broken. Like something's wrong in my brain. This is always going to be something I struggle with. And yeah, like I just was convinced like I'm wrong. And you're not alone. You're not broken. It's just your brain has learned a pattern. It's being a normal brain, and that's okay. All right, we got a couple more questions in the Q&A that I'll answer and we'll wrap this up. So Barb says, I tell myself that eating at night won't help me feel better, relaxed, stay awake if I'm not ready to go to bed. The truth is, though, that eating really does make me feel better and helps me stay up to play a game or scroll or relax. I want to break the cycle because it's keeping the weight on, and I often feel shitty the next day. Well, Barb, you just kind of refuted what you said. You feel shitty the next day. So in aggregate, the food does not help you relax. It makes you feel shitty. And if, let's see, if you're not ready to go to bed, you said food helps you stay awake. Well, okay. What's more important to you, weight loss or scrolling? Because if you went to bed, you wouldn't be eating, you'd get more sleep, which is, by the way, one of the four basics. Like, I get it. Like, sometimes you're not ready to go to bed, but could you question that thought of like, I want to stay up and scroll and play a game so I can relax because I'm not ready to go to bed? Is that more important to you than your weight loss? Again, maybe you're just, like, if we're talking this like 7 o'clock at night, all right, that is a little early to go to bed for some people, maybe not for me. like, do you have to eat to play a game and scroll? I guess like just journal on that. Like, is what your brain thinks that food actually does help me feel better? It does help me relax. Are you sure? Like, really take it all, tell the whole story. How about the next day? Does it help you feel better the next day? Does it help you feel better and relax, like in aggregate? So those are some questions to just journal on and think about. Oh, interesting. Carolyn said, can you please tell us how I came to know BS because she's forgotten. Let's see. And how do I make the story short? I got coached myself because I had gotten fired from a job, which was like a beautiful no, one of those like was terrible in the moment, but turned out to be the best thing that ever happened. And so when I got coached, I realized that I wanted to become a life coach. And so I put a search on LinkedIn for the word coach, and turned out Noom was hiring. So I signed up for Noom and like to work for them for less than half what I was making before. And I was getting back into weight loss coaching. So I searched podcasts for weight loss coaching podcasts, found Corinne, joined NoBS as well. And then March, April-ish of 2023, she was hiring, and I was like, I think I would be great at this. And it's the best job ever. So that's kind of the short story. Alrighty. Anonymous says, hard to stay motivated when I work so hard all week to lose a half a pound, and then one fuck it eat erases all of that. Number one, I want to validate. Yeah, that's hard. What is the fuck it eat over? Like, Corinne talks a lot about if we have an overeat, that's one thing, but then we fuck it eat because of the overeat. Like, how much weight would you not gain by only having overeats and not fuck it eats? So, what does she say? Like, Why fuck it when I can save the day, when I can save the evening? Like, you can always put the chip bag away with two chips still in the bag. And so I would ask yourself, like, also, what's the story you're telling yourself in your head when you have the fuck it eat? Because is it like, oh, screw it, I might as well give up? Well, then yes, you are undoing your progress. But when you have an overeat, which everyone does, it is normal. Can you say, oh, wow, I didn't love that, but what can I learn from it? And how can I get back to normal tomorrow? Note, I said, how can I get back to normal tomorrow? I did not say, how can I get back on track? Why? Because back on track implies a temporary solution. It implies a diet. And the very nature of a diet is that it's temporary. So I don't want you to go on a diet ever again. I want you to get back to normal, because if your normal is your healthy, reasonable choices, then that long-term weight loss will happen over time, which actually answers Carolyn's next question, which is, she said, can I please say again that weight loss is a series of, weight loss is a series of getting used to new normals over time. So if that's why we do 1% level ups, 1% level up is something that's a little different, but I could get used to it. It could feel normal. A diet does not feel normal. A diet feels like change. Our brains are literally wired to resist change. It's in our DNA. So when you feel like I'm self-sabotaging, it's like my brain is working against me. It is. Our brains resist change. So make one little level up, 1% level ups, because that flies under the radar of the like change and the, you know, of the your brain being like, this is too much. We need to go back to the way things were. If you just do a little level up, your brain can get used to that. It can begin to feel normal. Now you've gotten used to a new normal. Weight loss, long-term weight loss, is a series of getting used to new normals over time. Okay. Oh, this is a fun one. Anonymous says, I'm in a hurry to lose weight when I see it happen so slowly. In my journaling, I found that I don't believe I can be happy now with the body the way it is. I would do so much more when I get back in shape. It sounds like it shouldn't be a big deal, but to me, it is. I hate being in the shape I am right now. I was literally having this conversation with a client earlier today, and she was feeling frustrated. She's like, I don't believe I can lose weight. I was like, tell you what, I'm not going to argue with you. Let's agree. You can't lose weight. But I had a different client who said, if I had been patient and allowed myself to just lose 1 pound a month, I would have lost all my weight twice by now. But she wasn't patient. She was in a hurry and she kept doing, you know, lose a bunch, gain a bunch, lose a bunch, gain a bunch, because she was making those big changes that her brain resisted and fought against. And she never allowed her brain to get used to a new normal. And so I hear you. You're in a hurry to lose weight. But guess what? The time will pass anyway, which is what I told the person I was talking to today. I was like, okay, let's agree that you can't lose weight. But the actions, you're only focusing on the outcome, the result. The scale is not a goal, it is an outcome, it's a result. The actions, like drinking your water, like getting some sleep, like stopping at enough, those are the things that will result in the scale going down and losing weight. And so I was like, pitch the scale. I'm okay, you can't lose weight. I agree with you. Focus on these actions. If you could get enough water and get enough sleep and stop it enough 60% of the time, if you did that semi-consistently for a year, where do you think you would be in a year from now? You would not have lost all the weight. I agree. But you would have lost some. You would have made progress, and the time's going to pass anyway. Just like my client who said, if I had been patient, I would have lost all my weight twice by now, if I had just been okay with 1 pound a month. So the time's going to pass anyway. Where do you want to be a year from now? On that same cycle of going all in and then giving up, or focusing on the tangible action steps that are within your control? And letting that be good enough and making imperfect progress. Those are some thoughts for you there. Okay, I think I eat and drink at night because I'm lonely. I can get myself to the point where I can see that food or wine does not solve the problem, but there are not a lot of alternatives that I can think of to replace it. because you're lonely. I understand. That's hard. I've been there when my husband was away. It's absolutely can be challenging. And so, what are some things you can do to help with loneliness? Can you reach out to someone and be a support to someone else? Can you connect with a friend and say, "Hey, I'm struggling. Can you, text with me?" You can send someone a funny meme. You can make a post in the No BS Facebook group at 1 in the morning when you're feeling lonely, because you have a group of thousands of women who are in your same boat, who are ready to support you. And so I want to validate that being lonely is hard. And sometimes it feels like the food can be a friend. The alcohol can be at least something that can make the loneliness numb a little bit. And it doesn't solve the problem. And so what actually would help you feel a little less lonely? Reaching out to somebody, connecting with the group, with the NoBS group, creating connections in your life. Maybe even journaling with yourself, that like creating a relationship with yourself, that might be something that you could cultivate as well. Okay. Fran says, I want to treat myself every night after dinner, just a few pieces of chocolate and some kind of sweet treat at night. And so Fran, I would say, okay, what's the problem? Is it thwarting your weight loss? Like I have a treat after dinner every night, but it's like I like my reasons and it's also contained. Like I can have a piece of chocolate and be done. So is it creating a problem for you? Do you like your reasons? Are you eating more than you'd like? Where is the problem there? And when you say treat, it's like, are you rewarding yourself? And so rewarding yourself for what? And again, like if you like it and you like your reasons, all the better. But if it's becoming a problem, like maybe that's an opportunity to write in to Ask Coaches to address that. Did I lose weight in no BS? Yes, mostly through the podcast. Most of my weight that I lost was while I was actually working for Noom. And I even emailed Corinne when I was working for Noom and said, I like emailed into support and was like, dear Corinne, because I would listen to her on the podcast, and Noom had these scripted things that we were supposed to write to people. And it frustrated the hell out of me because it was so tight. And so, I did learn a lot of good things at Noom. But I was frustrated with the constraints. And so I was like, screw it. I'm going to coach these people the way I think they can. And I was learning life coaching at the time. So I was life coaching through Noom when I wasn't supposed to. But a lot of what I was learning from Corinne, I was like, that's good stuff. So I used Corinne's advice from the podcast to help me lose weight. So yeah. Okay. That's all of our questions, I think. Thanks for staying with me 7 extra minutes, everybody. So good stuff. So much good stuff. Thank you everyone for being here, for your support. Please reach out to us and Ask Coaches. We are here for you. We are always thinking about you and how we can help you succeed in your weight loss, because you deserve to feel good. Like that's what I was talking about on one of my coaching calls today. It was like, I am in favor of women feeling good about themselves. Whatever tool you need to help you get there, I'm in favor of it. So let's more women feeling good about themselves. And here we are to help you, and you are the best. No BS is such a great community. I'm so grateful for all of you. Mwah, 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 mwah. Have a good night. Bye.